Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
We are. We're on.
Well, hello. I'm Jim Gerhardt, and this is Bob Williams, and this is a very, very happy, blessed reunion. Yep. We haven't seen each other for a while. We did the podcast, you know, for years. And then you had your
my transplant.
Episode, your adventure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You look great.
Well, thank you. This is the first time we've seen each other in almost 4 months.
Yeah, we've talked, sent pictures of the dogs back and forth.
Miss being with you.
Yeah. But I got to go back thinking about this whole thing. My biggest impression of your adventure, and the adventure is for anybody who might not know that you had a kidney transplant, and under miraculous circumstances, I think. Why don't you do a second of that?
Well,
just to set this up.
Well, I'll tell you, it was an amazing experience, as I've mentioned on the air and other areas. Just incredible how I needed a kidney. It was a plea that my wife put out on Facebook. I needed a kidney. I was in kidney failure for about 2 or 3 years. We went to Facebook last fall, and here we are, Facebook Live today. I owe my new kidney to the exposure that we got on Facebook.
We thank Mark Zuckerberg for
Zuck, you're the best. Thanks very much, buddy. Oh, by the way, we're live from the New Jersey 101.5 News Center. So if you hear some chatter in the background, it's many people getting the newscast together and all the digital platforms here at New Jersey 101.5 and the Town Square News Center. And if you hear any cursing, it's probably Dan Alexander. No, just kidding, Dan. Yeah. And if anything goes wrong, it's Lou Hochman's fault, right?
I wish people could see this. This is a remarkable thing. I've worked in a lot of newsrooms.
Yeah.
I worked in, you know, CBS newsroom, NBC's newsroom. I've never seen one quite for radio anywhere. This is the Taj Mahal of newsrooms.
This is
newsrooms.
An amazing, amazing construction here. We just opened it last month, and it's really great to be here. And Facebook Live, if you're watching us on Facebook Live, we hope you are. You can send your comments along. We have a comment scroll, and we're going to address as many of your questions this morning as we can.
Please, we would like to, because we're breaking some new ground here. And any comments you might have, questions. Mm-hmm. One thing, Bob and I have been here for, 26 years?
Yes, we have.
At the same radio station doing the same jobs. I did sort of the host of the morning show. Bob did traffic reports. And so any questions that anybody might have about the history of this remarkable radio station, mm-hmm. This radio station is completely unprecedented in its history. Mm. Nothing has ever lasted this long. Not only lasted for almost 30 years now, but has grown. And that's usually stations go out of business about 4 years, I think, is all they give you.
But we must be doing something right all these years.
But anyway, getting back to your situation.
So I've been in kidney failure for about 2-3 years. Kidney function went down below 20%. And when you get below 20%, you're automatically sent into a kidney transplant clinic. My regular nephrologist, my kidney doctor, referred me to the great center over at St. Barnabas Medical Center about a year and a half ago. So I got indoctrinated into the process. I went through a bunch of medical tests. I got listed on the deceased donor list about a year or so ago, last April. But unfortunately, the waiting list for a deceased organ, a deceased donor, is about 3 to 5 years up in New Jersey. If I didn't get a donor within a year, I was going to be on dialysis. So that was a real concern. My wife really pushed me. She said, "So what are you going to do now?" I said, "Well, I'm going to wait for that call, that miraculous call that, you know, that there's a an organ waiting for me." She says, "You can't wait. You have to go out and try to find a living donor." I said, "I don't want to do that. I'm kind of embarrassed. I don't want people to know about my situation." She said, "If you don't do that, you're going to be on dialysis." So I said, "All right." So my wife, Kathleen, and a good friend of ours, Lynn, they wrote a letter. They put it on Facebook last October, and it got some pretty good response. We were blessed to have a lot of shares on it, a lot of exposure, and about 5 or 8 people actually went in and found out to get tested. They inquired about it. But only one person made it to the end of the process, because it's quite a process to get qualified to become a kidney donor. You have to have an excellent history, health history. You've got to have medical workups. It's quite a
and bit of much courage
and courage. Love. Oh, absolutely. And the one person that made it to the, I'm grateful to everybody who went out there and at least inquired about it. But the one person that I'm most grateful to is Kim Rumus, who turned out to be my living donor. Mm-hmm. And we met up right before Thanksgiving. Right after that, we found out that she was a match, and the surgery was scheduled for February of this year. Mm-hmm. So everything's been going great.
The recovery went along.
Yep. Kim's kidney is right in my side here, folks. That's where they put it. They leave your kidneys, your original kidneys in place, and they transplant the new kidney in your side, just to the side of your navel. Huh. So that's where that's functioning, and they splice it into your existing system. And God willing, it's been running well for the last 3.5 months. I have no after effects. Mm-hmm. Kim is doing very well. She wants me to tell everybody that there's nothing to be afraid of. If anybody out there is considering becoming a living donor, you can become a living donor for kidneys, or a part of your liver. It can regenerate some tissue, bone marrow. All of those things are certainly within the realms of becoming a living donor.
Okay, this could be a goldmine for anybody watching this or hearing this who might have questions about organ transplants.
Yes. So if you have any questions, I mean, we'll pass it along. Send them along on your comments. Make a comment here on the Facebook Live, and we'll try to answer them. Hey, Eric Johnson.
Eric Johnson,
EJ.
Our program
He's out
director
there. Yep.
For
Good to,
years and years.
Glad you're
one,
out
one
there.
One of the great people in the on the earth, I think, says hello. Hi. Yeah.
Gerald says, Jim, I know
Gerard,
you left. Gerard.
Yaria.
Are you two guys back permanently? We're back. We're back well, here every week. We do the podcast every week.
As
together.
Permanent as my age will allow. You know.
Hey, listen.
You have to allow. I did want to say something about just one more postscript to your story. My greatest recollection was before you got the transplant, and we knew that this was coming down to the wire. I don't know if people knew this, but you only had a couple of days less.
I was.
It got down almost to hours of either expiring or getting that transplant.
I was going to have to go on dialysis within days, maybe a couple of weeks, and that is not a good thing to be on. If anyone's on dialysis, you know how debilitating it is, and it's really bad for your health.
But my lasting memory is the courage you had, because I worked with you. We worked with you. Nobody would have known that you had a problem in the world. You covered that, and I thought about that. Could I do that? Well, I think the answer is no. See, I would be jumping up and down, kicking and screaming. I'd be, you know, like Beethoven thundering at the heavens.
At the time, I really didn't think much of it. I was just going to muddle through and just try to get through every day. I wasn't going to let it get me down. But looking back on it, I'm going, I can't believe I got through it. My blood pressure was through the roof. It was uncontrolled. My fluid, Jim, I'd lost about 20 pounds of fluid right after the surgery.
Was that
because
right?
It was caked on. The fluid, the kidney was not functioning properly. But as soon as the transplant happened, the new kidney started working immediately. And I had improved health within a day. It just was an incredible thing.
Well, do they do brain transplants yet? I want to get on the list, I think, for that one.
But to close out about the kidney and what we're doing, Kim and I, we're involved now with the New Jersey Sharing Network. I'm sure you've heard about that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's the organization that coordinates deceased donor organs with the needy, those that need transplants. The best thing I can tell you to do, and if you want to do something that's positive, just check that organ donor box on your driver's license. That's the first step you can do, because God forbid you're in a terrible, tragic accident and you're not going to survive. Your organs can live on and save up to 7 lives. It's amazing what just checking that box. It also gives your next of kin peace of mind, because then they don't know what they know what your wishes are.
Well, we have very gratifyingly not a lot of people saying congratulations on it, and we do more on that.
But we have Susan here. She was
just had a kidney transplant
at St. Barnabas. Susan, you know how great a place that is.
She was
so glad to hear that.
Same time you were there.
Same place.
But what you mentioned the network. You remember when we first met that network?
The New Jersey Sharing Network.
And this relates to a big news story today in New Jersey. It's amazing how deja vu all over again just keeps popping up, as Yogi Berra called it. You mentioned we had an event, I think it was the opening day at the New Jersey.
Oh, the Somerset Patriots.
The Somerset Patriots. And it was sponsored, that day was sponsored by that caring network.
Right.
And we met all of those nice people, never thinking, well, what does this have to do with us?
Oh, Jerry. Also,
okay, Jerry Keating says Governor about... Murphy could use a brain transplant.
Hey, listen. All right,
well, don't give me his.
Easy, I mean, Jerry.
No exchange. Just, I'm perfectly happy with it.
Thanks, Jerry.
We'll talk more about that a little bit later. But I want to get to this.
Yeah.
Because we had these nice people from there. That was the day that I threw my shoulder out.
Right.
And it's still out, and you know, at times, and I just got a cortisone shot about a month ago from my performance throwing out the first ball.
That's about 10, 12 years ago. Yeah.
Well, see, when I was a kid, I used to do a lot of pitching. I was this great left-handed pitcher, high school, college, you know, everything. And all of a sudden, I did some damage to my rotator cuff. But I didn't think about it. I went through life. But then I get to throw out the first ball, and I'm on the mound, and there's thousands of people sitting up there. So being a ham, you know, I'm rearing way back, and I'm going to put my best fastball.
A little mustard on
it,
right?
And the catcher, I could see panic in his eyes, the professional catcher. And I haul up, and I let go, and I thought somebody had stuck an assegai spear in my shoulder. I mean, it hurt.
Oh, man.
And I went down right
there. That's
what
you get for being a show-off.
Yeah, I had Sparky the dog to come over and do CPR, I think. But anyway, look, the connection.
The sharing network.
The connection is with the sharing network, and that particular day, Steve Califer, who owns the club. Steve's a good friend of the radio
and
station.
The
and a great
truck
person.
Country,
and he owns many businesses in the area. Steve, and I understand you'd know more about this than I, but I think Bill was talking about this in the morning. He has tried to buy the Kate Smith statue.
Yes, isn't that great? Because of the Kate Smith, the Philadelphia Flyers, they removed it from the arena. Everybody knows that story. So I don't know where the statue is right now. I guess it's in storage somewhere.
It's outside. I think it's outside the we'll check here. I think it's right outside the arena.
No, they took it down. They removed it.
No, but
oh,
it was.
Oh, yes, it
That's
was.
That's where it's set.
Right.
And so I don't know how many, I want to say a bad word here, how many people had protested. Because you know the history. Once Kate Smith had made a recording of something, which in its day was totally innocent. Paul Robeson, the great black, sort of a man for all seasons, really, brilliant actor, singer, athlete, he had recorded the same thing. Now, and other people had too. It was just some cultural thing in its day. But now they're trying to do away with the memory of Kate Smith, as the loony left is trying to get rid of any kind of history that might not be in complete concert with their ideology.
But, Steve Califer,
he
made an initial bid for the Kate Smith statue, I think, of about $10,000. He wrote a letter to the Flyers organization.
Mm-hmm. Didn't hear back.
Didn't hear back. And what, he's upped his bid to...
No, I assume he wants to put it to the ballpark.
I think that's where
the plan. I have to say congratulations, too, to the town of Wildwood.
Yes.
Because I think Wildwood, everybody was taking down any reference to Kate Smith. It's stupid. If nothing else, look, we got all of these predictions that the world is coming to an end. We're in end times. We got the asteroids. Right. We got the atomic wars. We got natural disasters. How are we going to know it's over if there's no fat lady to sing?
And Kate was the
and she was,
quintessential she was, fat
would, wait,
lady.
Who we got? Now, we know that, who was the cook who got... shot down for similar Paula Deen.
Oh, Paula, yes.
Who was out of work for something like that, too. Now, she was a little, let's say, toothsome, so she can't sing. So we're left. Rosie O'Donnell's the only fat person left.
And she has no
politically correct.
And she has no talent.
So what we, I don't know, anyway, think about that. But I do want to congratulate Steve.
Yes.
And actually thank him.
And I think his current bid is up to $50,000.
$50,000.
So, I mean, Steve, we hope you get it, and we're going to be there. I know Bill and everybody wants to be up there when they dedicate the Kate Smith statue at the Somerset Patriots ballpark. We will be there.
This is a good example. Now, there are those out on the loony left fringe there who, these two guys are being racist because they don't believe that, they've taken this up as some kind of a cause.
Just because
to vent their frustration.
You know something? I'm pent up for like 3.5 months. I haven't had a chance to really vent my opinion. So I'm full of you-know-what and vinegar this morning.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, just because some clown is sitting in his pajamas looking at something on on YouTube or something, and then he says, this is racist. Then the entire society gets into a frenzy about it. Offended.
You see,
I'm offended.
This is a weapon they use on us by intimidation, because they know nobody wants to be a racist. But you don't have to be a racist. All you have to do to be a racist, by their view, is to, and somehow hold thoughts that are not in concert with their thoughts.
Pablo Hernandez. Pablo's got a great idea with the Kate Smith statue. Pablo says, build a replica.
Yeah,
Steve Califer, build a replica statue if the Flyers don't sell the original Kate Smith
statue. Get hold of Trump. They can add as an addendum to the bill to build the wall.
I love it.
Kate Smith statue.
That's a great idea, yeah. Pablo. Thanks.
But again, it's so good to just thoughts that go through your head. I haven't done anything but yell at dogs, yell, sit, and lie down and stuff for a month. But there was a great a journalist, African-American journalist, Carl Rowan, a number of years ago, had a column, and he was excellent, I thought. He made the remark one time in an incident similar to this, and he said something that I think is profound. He said, racial paranoia is driving all of us crazy.
Oh, absolutely.
And this is exactly what you're going for. So anyway, well, thanks to Steve Califer. Just sort of continuing here, just looking around a little list I made of interesting New Jersey things going on here. Oh, I want to say how blessed we are in New Jersey. Our senator, one of our senators, who is a senator who refers to himself as Spartacus.
Oh, I wonder who that could be.
Well, I wonder who that could be. But anyway,
give me a B.
To add to his luster.
Yeah.
Now, he is a politician. He is, an academic. I think he was a Fulbright scholar at Oxford or something. He is, a philosopher, of course.
Right.
And he is a great leader of movements. He's a theologian now. I didn't realize that.
Oh, my goodness. His resume is like five pages
long.
Yeah,
because he made the remark. He said that when people were saying they send their thoughts and prayers to victims, he proclaimed thoughts and prayers are bull.
Really?
Well, you know, the residue of organic frisbees, I guess. And so I think we're all, a waiting world is very happy to hear that we don't have to worry about prayers.
What has he
because
done?
Because they don't do it. It's all bull stuff.
So. Jim, what has that Senator Spartacus done for New Jersey?
He's promoted himself.
What is his record of accomplishment? Does he have any?
Oh, he's been entertaining. We first heard of him back. He's running against Sharp James, who at that time was mayor for life at Newark when he was a young man. And I loved him. Everybody, really, he was remarkable at that period. And they made a documentary movie. It was called Street Fight. I believe. And he was featured in that. It was a documentary of that election. Then he comes back later. He lay low. And he comes back later, and he's the mayor of Newark.
Right.
Which many people say was a disaster. I do not know.
I don't think too many people are fond of the job that he did in Newark.
Well, he is a remarkable self-promoter. Right. Now, something I think everybody has to notice here, just again going a little bit off the track, all of these Democrats who are running, how many, there's a 600 or so now, I guess, running for the presidency in 2020. They're running for the vice presidency.
Yes, they are.
That is my view. They're all running for the vice presidency. None of them, I think, they have a ghost of a chance of becoming president. Right. But if you become vice president, you have enough attention that your ego is satisfied. Mm. And these people, politics, somebody wants to describe politics, and it's so true, and it's become that way. Not that good people don't get into it, but good people become sort of dipped in, you know, the stuff, the rather corrupt milieu of politics. And somebody once said that a politics to a politician is self-serving, masquerading as principle. And I think there's so much true to that.
Yeah,
so out of one side of your mouth comes principle. And but anyway, we've got all of these people in there, so it's going to be interesting, very interesting.
And you know, I just came back from vacation. We went. I'll tell you about that a little bit later. But the big story was I was thinking of Senator Spartacus on my trip because of the condition of the roads in the other states and how great of condition they are until you get to New Jersey, and then it's pothole city on many of the roads. And I was thinking of Senator Spartacus because whose position did he take? Didn't he take the spot of old Granny Lautenberg? I think he did.
Yes.
Right? So and you know, with all the all kidding aside, Frank Lautenberg was a major transportation advocate for New Jersey. He brought in some major federal dollars. Now you would think that his replacement would take up that sword and bring more transportation dollars back to New Jersey, so we could improve our infrastructure, our mass transit, our highway system. Mm-hmm. But I'm just wondering why that hasn't happened.
Well, perhaps times have changed. Maybe back when Frank Lautenberg, we used to laughingly refer to him as Granny Lautenberg, yeah, because he got well into his years, was very good. And maybe at that time, principle did occur. Right now, the whole political game is self-aggrandizement,
yeah,
calling attention to yourself. The number one item on any politician's agenda is his own career.
Yeah.
And I think you see them all pursuing this. And
it's a shame. What's he doing for the people that have elected him?
Hopefully he's entertaining. I think it was somebody, yeah, Pete Dennis, had referred to him as the state clown.
We haven't had a state clown.
And I'm disappointed about this because I really was a great fan of his in the very beginning, the potential he had.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But I think that he has sort of morphed into simply an entertainer.
Mm. Yeah.
And that you can make a great career, you know, entertaining. You get a lot of attention.
Right.
You get the chicks, you know.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not saying that is that, but that's sort of the equivalent, yeah, when we were kids. That was the highest priority.
So you think all of these candidates are vying for the vice president nod?
Oh, yeah, I think
and
so.
And who's going to be the top?
Oh, I think Biden.
Biden?
Well, Biden has to be, because none of the others could come anywhere close to beating not only Trump. They couldn't beat Pee Wee Herman when you consider the spread of the population of New Jersey and the great number of people who hang on to old values who do not embrace all of this way out stuff.
Right.
So I think it's Biden because he has a... He has the appearance of being the only sane,
right,
mentally competent,
and he's certainly entertaining.
Well, that's okay.
When you're having a bad day, go on YouTube and find the best of Joe Biden. All of his bloopers.
Oh, really?
Oh, you'll be howling.
Well, I think that's good. He's human. The other people aren't necessarily. I don't know where. I think they all came from Mars. Well, you got three young, yeah, twits, barely educated, very ill-informed, who are running the Congress right now.
Yeah.
And so what's happened there?
Mm.
You're talking about infrastructure. I was talking about that with somebody, I think just yesterday, I brought it up, that the infrastructure is going totally to hell. You have got, and it's not just roads. We think of roads and potholes, mm-hmm, but you've got like the water conduits,
right,
mains all over the place. On my street alone, there's been four water main breaks in the last year.
Phew.
And simply because
they're not keeping
of age.
Yeah. Dennis Keefe says, miss you, Jim, in the morning.
Thank you, Dennis.
Traffic isn't the same without you. The left lane dicks are as bad as ever.
Thank you. Thank you for the recollection.
Amen, Dennis.
Yeah.
And you know something? And
Craig Vella? Craig, thank you for getting in touch,
Craig,
with us.
And I'll tell you, Dennis, I agree with you totally, and I'm going to call it like it is. Anybody with a Pennsylvania plate, get out of the left lane.
Oh,
Pensy.
Yes.
I call him a Pensy Putz. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Get out of my left lane. Oh, Dan's looking at me like, no.
Well, you know, at one time it got so...
You have Pennsylvania plates, Dan?
Dan Alexander was a crack newsman.
No, your Jersey plates, right?
He won't admit it.
He's one of those left lane...
As long as you don't have Florida plates. That's what people do.
No comment.
No, somehow you get away with that in New Jersey. Half the people in New Jersey... See, where I live in Burlington County, so you get a large number that have North Carolina plates.
Right.
And so if anybody stops them, I'm in the military, you know, so I won't go your way.
Sure.
Of course, they've never been near the military in all probability.
And you'll love this. Driving through, I think it was Georgia or Florida, they have a rule, no trucks in the interstate in the left lane. It says no trucks in the left lane. And you're talking for miles. How many times do you get stuck behind a truck or a tractor trailer in that left lane doing 60, 65, clogging up traffic? You got to pass it. Now you're taking your own life in your own hands trying to get around it. Have they put that law in here and all the trucks and all the commercial traffic stayed to the right, it would make traffic flow a lot smoother and a lot less left lane dicks, Jim.
Uh-oh. Breaking news. Guess what other state has a law, no trucks in the left lane?
This one?
New Jersey.
I don't see the signs, though.
There are a few. Once I found that out, and I had seen a few trucks, tractor trailers in the left lane, and I somehow looked it up, I guess. Anyway, I found out that, yeah, there are signs, and there's one on 295, or used to be.
Right.
Maybe the truckers go out and take the signs down or blow them off
at night as
they
they're
go
up there
by
with their screwdrivers, right?
So,
yeah,
if you see these trucks, they're not disabled. They're out there, right, with a screwdriver taking down the note. But, yeah, that is illegal in New Jersey,
interesting,
too.
Interesting, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else is going on in jiu-jitsu? Oh, you mentioned before we went on, there is some kind of a set to a rooster fight between the two top politicians in the state, which is State Senator Steve Sweedy and the governor.
Right.
And I haven't followed that terribly, but it seems like Steve has been a very stabilizing force, thank goodness, in the governor's plans to Californianize, as we used to call it, the state of New Jersey. And I think this is a very healthy thing. But I would say one thing to the governor, and I'm not in business to give the governor advice. Certainly he would not be interested in it.
He should be.
But if I could give him advice, I would say don't mess around with George Norcross. Mm. And that's a recent story. Dan, you're aware of that, are you not? George Norcross getting more involved in this. I would, and he is sort of the political boss, not elected official, but the political boss in much of South Jersey. He is Steve Sweeney's patron.
Right.
He and Steve went to school together. They've been friends.
And he backed
George wields probably more power than, realistically, than any Democrat in the state.
Yeah.
He and Steve together. So I would say to you, Governor, if you should happen to see this, don't get into a piddling match with George Norcross.
We're warning you, Governor.
George will eat you alive, Governor.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, you heard it here first. So take it easy there. All right. So that, the marijuana. The governor had kind of staked his whole term or his career on legalizing marijuana and the sanctuary state.
Right.
Now, I don't know how the sanctuary state business stands, although they're still yelling and screaming for driver's licenses for people in the country illegally. You know, there is an ambivalence in my attitude toward the illegal immigration, and maybe yours and other people. I see it as a very, very bad thing for the country, and it is illegal, it is against the law. Unfortunately, on the other side, the people I have met are very nice people who have been in that boat. So you get kind of torn.
But it's a system. I mean, it needs to be addressed. It needs to be revamped. People want to come here, and that's all well and good, but they need to do it under the current laws of the system.
I saw a picture, and I think
it was those laws need to be changed. So be it.
Few dozen people who had just become citizens. Did you see that? It was maybe on our station. I remember there was a picture, and looks like a couple dozen people, and they had played the game. They became citizens. Now let's exaggerate. Let's say there were 3 dozen people. While they had become citizens, probably 5,000-6,000 people had slipped in illegally and were here with exactly the same rights that they have, or the same entitlements, pretty much.
And these driver's license thing, that's a whole nother story.
That's a whole nother story. Well, one of the arguments I think is kind of ridiculous in a sense. They say, okay, if we let them drive, they'll all go out and buy car insurance. Now, right off the bat, I find that very hard to believe.
Right.
Therefore, you will not have the loss because you got into an accident with somebody, not only with no insurance, who couldn't read the signs to know what he was supposed to do under the circumstance, and in fact, you basically don't know who he is in the first place.
Right.
It's whoever he said. My name, Fidel Castro, or whatever it is. And you're supposed to go with that. Gosh, there's so many things to jump around on today.
Oh, yeah, we haven't seen each other in a long time, so it's all well and that's fine.
Gosh, I don't know what to say. Oh, storms.
Oh, we've had some storms this week, that's for sure. How'd you fare? We have one day of it today. We're taping on Thursday.
Yeah.
If you're watching this after the live, but one more day of severe storms.
Two nights of tornado warnings tonight. Apparently, there's no tornado warning.
Yeah.
We had one last night, and so you go out and you batten everything down the night before we had it. We got a little rain, but that was about it.
First night, Tuesday night, the tornado that hit up at Stanhope at Lenape Valley High School, that was about 5 miles from my house. So I'm outside looking around. I see the rotation of the clouds above, and my first call was to Dan Zarrow. I said,
there was no
pleasantries there, by the way. I just called him. He said, you're okay. The storm is going to your east. I said, okay, thanks. But that was some wicked stuff. I was really concerned about the man shed getting torn up. I mean, I can imagine that thing. I got a 10-by-20 man shed in the backyard. Imagine that thing getting picked up by a twister. I don't know where that would have landed.
That's interesting. I guess different ones of us concerned about different. I was more concerned about these cat cages we have outside the house on a little patio in the back. So I could see cats just flying through the air. You know, there go my cats.
But that's the first time we've had a serious tornado warning in the heart of the state in at least a couple, 3 years.
A warning, yeah. We've had watches, but they said warning.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago on a Saturday, Dan and I were tracking a storm that went right across like Monroe, the West Windsor area. But that was the last time. But this was some serious stuff the other day.
I want to agree with the person who has gotten in touch. This is Pat. Yeah. Pat says, blame George Norcross. I'm sorry, Pat Blome.
Okay.
That's Pat. Pat, I'm sorry, because I agree with you. He says, George Norcross is nothing more than a mob boss. He looks out for his own needs, not for the needs of New Jersey. It's exactly right. This is what people with political power do.
Right, and he's the
one
that puts
it. So what you're saying is George is like a carpenter who has a hammer. Goes with the trade. I'm simply saying that the current governor should not get into a piddling match with him.
Right.
And if you want to carry that analogy, the old saying is never get into a piddling match with a skunk.
Right, because you know who's going to win.
I'm warning the governor. I'm not arguing with anything.
We're on his side. We're trying to give him some sage advice.
Yeah.
Peter DeLutis, we agree.
The governor is a joke. See, this is an interesting thing with this governor. Now, we have dealt in governors for our whole 20-some years, so you're starting with Governor Florio, Governor Kane a little bit before that when we first started. But we have known, I've known, done programs with every governor except the current one. Hmm. This one is somehow different, and I can't put my finger exactly on it. It's kind of like he is sort of on the periphery of being the governor. He's not only immersed in it.
He's not only alienated the opposition party, he's alienated many in his own party. So he's pretty much putting himself on an island, a political island with... no rowboat to get off.
Well, but politics can change. When's the next gubernatorial election we've got?
He's not even 2 years in now.
Yeah,
right?
So many things can change. Same with the national picture here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see, what else? Just some thoughts that came up. Unrelated to what we were talking about, and again, Bob, you can remind people that this is a rather an experimental thing.
Right, it's interactive things. Our first time on Facebook Live, and we welcome your comments. Make a comment, and Lou Hochman, who's our director today, is writing them up, and we'll certainly address as many as we can for the next couple of minutes.
We're kind of flying by the seat of our pants here now. But if you do have comments, we would appreciate them, because a lot of people have really said, hey, good to see you again.
Right, and this is your opportunity, because you know when you call into the radio station, there's only a couple of minutes there every couple of minutes to take phone calls, and not everybody gets on. But we've got plenty of time to address all your comments here.
Oh, this makes me feel good. Peter DeLutis said, yes, you said my last name the right way. It said even a blind
Nothing's worse than when you butcher somebody's name.
We did something right. Even a blind pig finds an occasional acorn, so it is said, in my village.
So my only disappointment today was that you didn't bring in Manfred.
Manfred, I wish I could show pictures. Manfred I wanted to bring in. Manfred I used to bring in when he was a puppy.
He could sit right here.
He is my Doberman. Next week, Manfred will be sitting here.
Okay.
And Manfred's gotten big now. He's, almost 10 months old. And he used to come in and play with everybody. Yeah. So now you got to...
Oh, he's a pretty big boy now. He's grown into his paws.
He's grown in... Well, no, almost. Not quite. It's scary. You know, you pick him up by the back of his neck and his skin.
He's a beautiful dog.
Again, there's so many things. Yesterday, I had to go to my regular scheduled yearly session with my cardiologist, and I've been seeing for 16 years. And he says, your electrocardiogram is exactly like it was 16 years ago. Nothing's ever changed. Fine. Goodbye. My time is up. Come back. Now, what I'm leading into is something you had an experience with, how medicine has changed. I think you and Bill Spady were talking this morning on the air about how things were the same and hadn't, and things had changed over the last 26 years we've been here. This is one thing that has changed. And I don't know what it is. It was a time where I could go to a doctor, and I walk in, anybody does, and the first thing you're asked is, where does it hurt? Hmm. What's the first thing they ask now?
Proof of insurance and your driver's license.
Exactly. Exactly. Or
how you and they still screw it up. I've gone to dozens of doctor visits over the last 4 or 5 months. I give them the same stupid cards every time. And wouldn't you know it, I get the bills and it's all screwed up. Well, we don't have your primary insurance. Well, that's funny, since I gave it to you 4 or 5 times. This, and I'm not paying what you just charged me.
But
idiots.
You had an episode, though. You went to a doctor. And somehow, you didn't know this. This is something, sort of a new wrinkle. You outstayed your time.
Oh, yeah.
And got charged for another visit.
I asked too many questions, so I got double billed for a double visit. I had too many questions, so now I've got to watch my time. Oh, doctor, don't answer that. You're going to charge me for another visit. Yeah. I'll ask you next time.
And so many other things. See, all the doctors now are getting into these organizations, associations, somebody's health plan. They all have one. You get the Capital, Jefferson, you get Virtua, everybody.
Right.
Grace L. Ferguson, Storm Door, and Health Care Company.
Yeah.
But trying to get a doctor, I had a thing, again, I was talking about the same cardiologist. And boy, he got burned up by this when they first got into this thing. I tried to call because I had a question.
Right.
I got in a cortisone shot in my bad shoulder I talked about. Nobody told me that that increases your pulse beat.
Hmm.
So my pulse beat starts going up, and it scared the dickens out of me.
Wow.
And so I tried to call. So you get the recording. And the recording says, if this is an emergency, dial 911. The implication is, if it's not an emergency, don't bother us with your whining.
Right.
But anyway.
You can die on hold
I'm
here.
And it's a robo thing.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's an emergency till I talk to the doctor. So I was going through all of this stuff to try to find out how and I never did. I always got put back to an appointment thing. I don't want an appointment. I want to ask him something.
Every phone call to any medical provider, you got to budget at least 20 minutes because you're going to get lost in voicemail hell. press this for this one. Oh, press this for this. Press two if you want to get back to the main menu.
Oh, it's our menus have changed, please. Oh, the one that kills me is your call is very important to
sure
us.
Sure it
it's
is.
Not,
yeah,
you're, the
you're
damn
like, yeah, sure it is, buddy. Yeah, right.
But anyway, what I was thinking of doing here, I think it's time that Henry Ford replaces St. Mark as the patron of medicine.
Okay.
St. Mark has been known as the patron of medicine.
Mm-hmm.
St. Michael, I think, is the patron of health, but specifically St. Mark. It's time for Henry Ford because he invented the assembly line. And this is what you get. We're getting an assembly line when you go in there.
Yeah.
And you've got so many minutes. They
Pretty
even
much.
Send out a thing. It's now online. When you have an appointment, they will send out this email setting it up, telling you when your appointment is and the like. And then they'll say you will have 15 minutes.
Mm.
Well, perhaps that's enough.
Right.
And if there's nothing wrong with you, I guess with me, a doctor takes one look and says, get out of here.
Yeah.
But I think we should start facing that. This is what's happened in medicine. It's not any way as we knew it before. It's a business now. It's entirely commercial. It's entirely money. And I've figured out the way to beat the system, and so far it's worked. I just stopped being interested in it, my medicine. I don't take any pills. I take no medications, whatever.
Mm.
And of course, the first doctor hit the ceiling. You are taking statins for your cholesterol. I want cholesterol, for heaven's sake. Cholesterol is what feeds your brain. It's what it's made out of. Don't give me that
You've
stuff.
Made it to this point in your life.
Yeah,
okay.
I come from a family. They must have had the same cholesterol as I do, you would think. I got two uncles who lived to be 102. My mother lived to be 100. And
you got a bunch
they
of
didn't
years
take
to go
a statin.
There, fella.
They didn't take a statin. I don't have too many years.
No, you got a lot more. Yeah.
Well, let's hope. Let's see.
Do you have any interest in this? I brought
no.
in.
I have interest in you talking about it.
I will just tell
it's you. It's a sample ballot.
It's a sample ballot for the New Jersey primary election. Next Tuesday, I got the local one for my district. My take on this is that this is where it begins. This is where, if you want your candidate to get past the primary, I mean, some, both Republican and Democrats, are facing some competition here. So I would just advise you just to look at your local ballot. It's next Tuesday throughout the state. And if your person is being primaried, who's got competition, get out there and support them.
How many languages is this in? Remember they started
just English. That? Just English.
Really?
This, yeah. I guess that's
Uh-oh.
My preferred. I know.
Some of your election people are in a lot of trouble there now.
But the one in my district is Anthony Bucco. He's the assemblyman, longtime Republican.
Gosh, he's been there forever.
He's pretty good.
When the primordial mist lifted.
Yep, and his dad, Senator Tony Bucco. So yeah. He's up. He's the son. Yes, this is the son. So, he's the assemblyman.
So old Tony Bucco took his son into the family business.
Right, he did.
Yeah,
yep.
I passed it on.
And there's a couple of other, both sides, Republican and Democrat, being primaried. And just check your district for the latest on that and make sure you go out and support your candidate.
I did look at mine. As a matter of fact, they still send me a sample ballot for my son, Jonathan, who's been in the Navy for 12 years. or in the Marines. But there wasn't that much on it. There's no public question.
No, to
give it interest.
Maybe there'll be one in November, but nothing on it.
So I guess I do my usual thing. I go right in Pee Wee Herman and go away satisfied.
I think Pee Wee will show up in the primary.
This is Peter DeLutis.
He just went away.
I think I know what he wanted to say. He was talking about the health care that we were.
Okay.
Oh, he said automated systems are worse now than they were before. They made it harder to
get a live operator.
They fired
a bunch of the operators.
Well, that's the whole point.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the whole point. They don't want to pay an operator. Then they started having, and you get an operator. The operator is in Bangladesh or somewhere.
Here's another topic. Seth Konigsberg says, why do New Jerseyans who enlist in the armed services have to pay state tax to New Jersey, even though they are stationed halfway across the world? It's so wrong, says Seth.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. That's a very good question.
Dan Alexander, I'll defer, and there's something maybe interesting to look into. Military people who are assignment around the world have to pay a state tax? Income, or?
Is that because they're residents?
Because they're New Jersey residents, they're still required to pay
tax. Because they're still residents, right. Well, they should at least waive that while they're putting their life and limb on the line, right, for the country, right?
I don't know. I've had two sons who have been deferred into war zones.
Carmen is still with Grip.
Oh, yes.
Get rid of incumbent politicians.
I wish people had paid attention to Grip, because Grip, G-R-I-P, it's on my hat here now, get rid of incumbent politicians. It is about the only solution to what you have, especially if you get into the higher levels like the Congress, a total gridlock where nothing gets done except a bunch of petty teenage girls squabbling among each other.
Right.
And that is every election, get your sample ballot. We tried at one time to get the election commissions to put who the incumbent was on a ballot.
Right.
To show the incumbent. They refused to do it. They wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And so find out, you can always call your town clerk or somebody, county election.
But that's where that's where it begins with the primaries, to get rid of the incumbent politicians if that's what you want to do.
Well, it works better in an actual election because right. You don't care who's running. They're all going to do the same thing. Yeah. They're all going to, get you when they're elected and play the system.
Yeah, pretty much.
Good people get into this system, very, very good people. Yeah. But they cannot stay that way because they're entering a system, a milieu that is really corrupt.
Right.
And it's all based on money, personal mm-hmm. gain, self-aggrandizement. Notice the personalities of people nowadays who get into politics. Mm. They're all largely either borderline sociopaths or are a little bit strange, as we used to say in my village, a little bit weird. The thing with Grip, you go and you vote against any incumbent. You have to hold your nose because the other party in the beginning is putting up somebody who's just as bad, probably.
Right.
But you have to do that. You have to vote out all incumbents every opportunity. Now, first time, second time, maybe nothing. But sooner or later, you will get their attention.
Yeah.
And they will start considering you rather than their own agendas. When we first started that, which have been back in the 90s talking about it, we scared the dickens out of a lot of politicians.
Mm-hmm.
I know one state senator, and a good man, was running very scared because he thought that people would actually, made sense to him.
Yeah.
But people just won't do it. They're voted.
Donna's still practicing. She's a practicing gripper.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Donna.
Donna Moskaldovico. Donna, thank you very, very much. Hey, listen, thanks to everybody. This is very gratifying.
Yeah, a lot of fun, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So if you want to make a comment, poke sticks in our cage, that's okay too.
Now, one more thing about the Sharing Network.
Yeah.
This Sunday is the annual fundraiser for the New Jersey Sharing Network over at New Providence. It's their Celebration of Life 5K and Run and Walk. And I'm going to be there with my my living donor, Kim. We have our own team. It's called the Kim Bob team. We have our own custom t-shirts.
Oh, really?
And we invite you to come on down and join us. And, you know, the New Jersey 101.5 Big Yellow Van will be there. It starts at 8:30 for the race. The walk starts at 10, and it's a huge festival. It's not your normal 5K. It's in New Providence on Central Avenue at the Sharing Network headquarters.
Okay. Yeah, no, you were going to walk.
Yes, we're going to walk it.
Are you going to get to, is your goal to get to the point that you can run it? Is that possible?
Oh, absolutely. I used to do 5Ks. I wasn't the fastest, but...
Well, that's okay. You don't have
but
to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to try to run it next year. I think by next year I'll be all right. I started a jog a couple weeks ago, so I'm getting back into
it. Well, that's great. You can
I just
still
can't,
do that.
I just can't bench press like 400 pounds or anymore, but for now. I never did anyway.
They told me,
yeah, you won't be able to bench press for a year. I said, oh, it's all right. Never did it anyway.
I was talking about getting a brain transplant. I didn't mean that as facetiously as it sounds. Really, because people say to themselves, well, you know, this is sort of a self-effacing thing you get about your brain. I had a traumatic brain injury, but it's going on 4 years ago.
Right.
And there's still times when you get an injury like that, that you get totally recovered and everything is fine. You're full of something and vinegar, as you mentioned. It's something I heard in the Navy years ago. I forget what it was, something. But you keep getting these little things. Sometimes you feel a little bit off balance.
Yeah.
And you'll ask me a question. This is not all the time, sometimes. And I'll sit here and I have to make a note because, you know, what was the question? Now, I have no problem now.
Right.
But these things do, you know, come on. So let's say a short-term memory part of the... I tell people, I say, you know, I could tell you what happened in specific detail in 1948, you know, at something, and in the affirmation of, you know, pick something of the Israel at the time. But I can't remember what I watched on TV last night. But then everybody says to me, well, I can't either. So maybe I don't need the brain transplant. So what do we have? I think
that's pretty much it. Yeah, you know, we're going to wrap it up, I guess, here on Facebook Live. But hopefully we'll be back before too long. Hopefully we'll be back next week.
Yeah, maybe we'll get invited back. Yeah. It's nice to know that there are people who do remember us.
Absolutely. And we'll be, you know, if you want to leave a comment afterward here on the Facebook page for New Jersey 101.5, we'll be glad to respond to you. Thanks to Lou. Lou Hockman kept us on the air this morning. Thank you very much, Lou, for being on.
Well, we think
director.
He did. We're not sure what he was doing back there. He's like the old photographer with his head under the thing.
And this will be captured as part of our regular podcast, so you can check that out throughout the week over at the NJ1015.com website.
Yeah, we're just trying to get acquainted now, and this, again, is sort of a new venture. Yeah. So I think as time goes by, we can get into some of the more meaty things for opinion. And we certainly want your take.
Right.
On what's going on. Thank you very much.
Yeah, great to be back with you, Jim.
God bless you. Good to see you.
We'll see you soon, folks.
Okay.
Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.